This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. You know what? You might come here sad, but if you leave here sad, there's a problem with what we do here. Huh? Seriously. If we come here sad, that's fine, because life is dealing us all different blows. But the reason why we do what we do here is to lift us up, to take our eyes off where we are at. Put it on Jesus. So Jesus, you are the hope this morning.
Amen.
You might walk out of this place. Your situation might have not changed, but your spirit is lifted up.
Amen.
Christ has lifted us above that. And that's the reason why we do what we do this morning. Why we sing, why we celebrate, why we declare this morning there's hope. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I've got hope. Sometimes our situation doesn't change, and God allows that sometimes. But we need to rise up above that. We need to grow up. We need to mature. We need to learn to suffer, to endure, and to say, God, you are bigger than that. Amen. There's a couple of people I want to pray for during the worship that I sense. Oh, I hope there's no feedback. What's your name, lady?
Nepandula.
Nepandula, I saw it's like a cup that's over you. A massive, massive cup. And God says, you're the sunshine, but that cup is holding that back. And I don't know whether it's a situation, but God says there's hope, and you need to be the sunshine. Father, we thank you for Nepandula. We thank you, Jesus, that you've placed the sun inside of her. Lord, that you are the sun, Lord. And the God, this morning, we lift up every form of oppression, Father, everything that is holding her back, Father, from being that person that you wanted to be, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you will, in time to come, in the next few days and weeks, Lord Jesus, continue to shine for Nepandula. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that right now, Lord, she will yield to your spirit. She will experience your love, your care, and your goodness in Jesus' name. Manyanka, I just saw God said there's something more. You're like a flower that's planted, and God said there's a new sense that's going to come from that flower, but the roots need to go deeper, and God says there's more that he wants to release in this new year for you, a new sense, something from a flower that's just so beautiful. So, Father, we thank you. There's something unique in this lady, God, that you've placed there. And this morning, Father, you invite her just to release, just to let go. And Father, we thank you. Then your timing, Father, that as she grows deeper into you, as the roots go into you, Lord, as she experiences more of your Father love, Lord. Lord, that the flower inside of her, the sense, Lord, that beautiful scent, Lord, that you've placed inside of her, Father, will be released for others to say, the Lord is good, surely. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Juan, Vas, Jelle, Monja, come here quickly. You guys are almost on your way. I want to pray for you as well. I won't have another opportunity later this year. They're moving to Windhoek. Always sad to me. It doesn't matter. Because we love people, eh? We get to know people. Some of you know them better, but and some of them know their faces. But the fact of the matter is they move to Windhoek, and it's a new season for them. And I saw as well during the worship that God has prepared two swords for you. And it was in the fire, and God is taking the two swords out, and he's placing a sword in both of your hands. And I believe it's something unique that God is doing there in that side, preparing for you, where you're going to minister together and in a unique way, and it's a new sword that God is placing in your hands. And we just wish you all the luck for this new season. They're relocating to Windhoek with work, etc. But I believe that God is doing, and Paul is raising his hand there at the back, and he's receiving them there. By the way, thank you. And they will be slotting in, I believe, in that side as well. So may God bless the season richly. I know Monja specifically has a heart for the youth, and she started getting involved with our One Hope the other day in amazing training here. So the platform is there. Father, we thank you for these two precious people of yours, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are preparing them, Father, for a season, a new, fresh season. This morning, Father, we release them with love and a blessing, Father. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that as we release them, we're just sending them, Lord, into a new season, into a new place of flowering, Lord, into a new place of blossoming for you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you've prepared the ground already in that side. Father, we thank you for people around them, Lord, that will surround them, Lord, that will support them, that will help them, Lord Jesus, to become, Lord, what you want them to become. Father, we thank you, Father, for a ministry, for a calling, for a purpose, for assignment this morning. Father, we thank you that we can bring clarity over that as well, Lord. We pray and we speak purpose over that. We say, Lord Jesus, that as they enter into in that side, Lord, as they move in faith, Father, that you will continue to reveal to them. Father, we remove every form of uncertainty, every form of fear. This morning we declare, Lord, that you are their hope, that you are their provider, that you are their source, Lord, that no fear, no plan of the enemy will come close to them, Lord. We pray a hedge of protection around them. Father, we thank you for your blessing upon their family, upon their relationship, upon their marriage, Lord, upon their children, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that they will go out blessed, Lord. And as they continue to follow you, as they continue to put their eyes upon you, they will see your goodness and mercy following them all the days. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 You still have time to drink a coffee with them. They won't disappear. They're still in the country, but it's just a little bit further from here. Amen. I mean, 360 kilometers. Or 80. I don't know. Whatever. Huh? Yes, of course. No, Windhoek, man. Yeah. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands who's celebrating Christmas or not. That's not the point. But here's the fact of the matter. Whether you celebrate Christmas, whether you do not celebrate Christmas, whether you believe you should celebrate Christmas, you will be confronted with a story over the story. All right, come on. We all can admit that. You will be confronted with Matthew 2. Now, I know we have different crowds and different people that looking at this stuff differently. But one thing is, we cannot deny Scripture. It's written there. So let's talk about that. I want to talk about worship this morning. Maybe I'm on your case this morning with worship, but it's just something that God has placed on my heart lately. I say lately, maybe last few months already. And I'm seeing busy happening in our own congregation that God is taking us to a new level of worship. I don't know about you that you've sensed that in the last couple of times that we came together, that is something breaking here. And I just want to continue building upon that, especially in this season. Because this story, to me, is a story of worship. When we read about Christ that came, it's a story about worship. And I want you to think about it that way. When Christ entered into the world, when his presence came into the world, people began to worship him. We didn't worship until Christ came. So let's talk about worship this morning. Matthew 2, if you've got your Bibles there, I've got it up there as well, I believe. We're going to read from the New King James Version. Some words I want to highlight this morning, so maybe you want to underline that. Because I'm going to try and be brief and short here. I'm going to try, I said, I didn't promise. Because I really believe that I want to give it sweet and short to you, so that you remember when we look at our worship and measure that against the wise men and against the people that came and visited Jesus. Matthew chapter 2 says, now after, you can underline, there's a couple of words, like I said, I'm going to underline or highlight, just purely because I want to bring a point across here. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and notice he was in born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They didn't go to Bethlehem, they went to Jerusalem. He was born in Bethlehem and they went to Jerusalem. Saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. That's all the pastors of the day, all the bishops of the day, and asked them, listen, can you tell me where was Christ supposed to be born? And when he had, so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. Notice, not the baby, the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Of course, he didn't want to worship him, but he had different plans. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till he came and stood over where the young child was again. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened the treasures, their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. I'm sure you read this story before, maybe 1,000 of times, maybe not as much like that, but surely you've heard this story before. And I just want to bring some, I don't want to say if it's fresh this morning, but maybe just to highlight a couple of things in the way these wise men came to Jesus. Because the story tells us about, well, the wise men came to Jerusalem after they heard about the young child that was born. Now, here's the thing. They worshipped in three different ways, and we're just going to look at three things that's speaking to us this morning in our style of worship, in the way we worship Christ. And I want us to measure that in this season as well. You know, a lot of us are so focused on the gifts. Some of us are so focused on the tree. Some of us are so focused on the meal. Some of us are so focused on the family. You know what? It doesn't really matter to me. And whether you do that or not, that is, please stop throwing stones. I want to say, if this one does it that way, just make sure that Christ remains the center of it all. That's all. It's never been about the tree. And if you've got a tree, don't feel guilty about that. Just, by the way, Jeremiah doesn't talk about the tree there, just to help you there. Some of us, oh, man, we knock each other during the season and we miss the whole point, okay? So I just want to say that for the record. Some of us celebrate that. Leave the people that celebrate it. Those who do not celebrate it, the Lord bless you as well. But just make sure that all of us keep Christ the center of that all. Amen. And that we continue to worship what needs to be worshipped. Not the nice food. I don't know. That's actually... sure, there's at least one common ground here, you know, sometimes. Everybody's going to eat too much. Amen. I don't know. Or there's all a few disciplined people here amongst us. But normally everybody's... Generally, I'm on the diet because... Anyway, so we've got common ground. We'll talk about the food. Anyway, but you know what? When we look at these wise men, here's the thing. The wise men didn't just pop up. And we look at church history. We look at what Josephus and a lot of these people, it's, scripture doesn't tell us, but a lot of history tells where these people come from. They came from the east, which were probably, listen here, probably not that Issachar's. Okay, that. 140 kilometers. History tells us that more or less, and I'm saying more or less, okay, 1,000 miles. What's that? Put another zero to Issachar's. 140, well, 1,600 kilometers. Here's the thing. They came 1,000 miles expecting something. Sure, man, you must travel, or you must be very desperate to travel 1,000 miles to expect something. They were, and it comes from the Greek word magi, magicians. Just hang on for the moment there. Sorcerers, the group of people. I'm not saying those specific three men. But the group, study shows us that they were astronomers, astrologers, sorcerers, magicians. That most probably came from the great, and I'm giving you some better background here this morning just to help you to see where they come from. Probably these people were believers because they were coming to search for a king. But most probably, these men came from the group, the Persians, that was a lot of magicians and astrologers. Daniel 2 verse 2 tells us about that. Let me just read that, because that's when, actually I can just tell you about that. I don't have to go there. When Daniel was there, there was a lot of, well, the Persians were ruling, and a lot of Persian magicians there, and sorcerers and astrologers. And when they wanted to interpret the dream, they had to go to them, and they couldn't. Then what happened? A Jewish man interpreted the dream. But a lot of theologians believe this morning, and people, I just want us don't be too hard about these men this morning, that they maybe were magicians or all. Because here's the thing. I want you to notice this. They came seeking for the supernatural, for something more than... They were maybe tuned in, searching. Because here's the thing. All of us, whether you agree or not this morning, has been born with a desire to search for the supernatural. Because God is the supernatural. God has placed that inside of us, and deep hunger to search for something deeper, wider, higher, more than just ourselves. They came with a desire to seek for the supernatural, expectantly traveling 1,000 miles to find that person, that king, or the star that he's talking about. And actually, when you study, they say that many theologians believe that Balaam, if you go to Numbers 24, verse 17, I believe, let me just quickly turn there, that many believe that that's the origin of these magicians. Because Balaam, you know the story of Balaam, let me just go there. Balaam was hired by the king of Moab to curse Israel. There's a story in Numbers 24. Let me just quickly get there. I just want to give it to you. Remember when that's the one with the donkey? Kids' Bible, donkey started talking. Why do you want to eat? Yeah, man. If you can't remember, remember the donkey. That's children will tell you that story. Okay? 24 verse 17. So what happened is the king wanted to get Balaam to curse Israel. And God said to him, hey, listen, you can't curse Israel. And then what happened is Balaam was probably the first one to prophesy about the star. Numbers 24, 17 is there. If you turn there, you'll see it says, I see, and remember, he's a Persian. I see him, but now, not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. So here's the thing. These Persian magicians or wise men, let's call it them, that they go back into their history. Remember, they wrote down everything. We just have to remember. We forget sometimes how they interpreted, how they told. This is why we know what we know. It's all been told through history. It's been written down. So they go down, they page their history books, and they see, how about something happened back then. There's been talked about a star. It's been prophesied about a star, about a king. Then they go up and they study the almost a universe, the solar system, and they see something lines up with a star. And they realize time is lining up. We need to travel for the supernatural, to expect something. Now my question to you this morning is really, and listen, they traveled for more, like I said, for 1,000 miles to a nine, and we know that it was a young child from what Scripture says, to find a young child. Because Herod killed everybody under 2 years. Remember the story. They reckon Jesus was between 9 to 18 months. They traveled 1,000 miles expecting to see a child or the king. My question to you, to myself this morning, if they traveled that much, that far, to experience Christ, wouldn't it be appropriate for us just to come to church or to enter into his presence with some kind of expectation? Or do we sometimes come here, whatever will happen today will happen. If they travel that far, just to experience the king, how do you come into his presence? How do I get into his presence? And I want us to measure ourselves, measure our worship this morning. Are we still worshiping expectantly? Not just singing a song, not going through the motions, not going through praise, not going through worship, and then we're going to slow or fast or slow, or jump up and down, raising hands. No, we're going to get to that in a moment. But are we still expecting to meet and to see him? Are you expecting to meet him during this time, or are you just, I'm just so glad it's holiday. I'm just so glad I can just take a rest. I'm just so glad it's just breaking the routine. Are you still expecting that he's going to be somewhere in the season, he's going to meet with you? He's going to give you something of himself. We should all have an excitement and expectation over the season. If you threw out Christmas out of the door and you don't have an expectation this morning, I want to preach to you this morning. If you threw all the trees and all the stuff out, but you don't have an expectation this morning, Can I just ask you for a moment, just for God's sake, just get an expectation to meet with him. Here's the thing. Christ wants to meet with us over this time. Matthew 2, and I want you to see this. They came into his presence. Listen, verse 10. When they saw the star after they traveled, they rejoiced. I want you to see that in Scripture with exceedingly great joy. Remember what I said in the beginning. If we come here and we don't find joy, you're playing religious games. You've not met with Christ this morning. You've not been in his presence. But every time we get into his presence, we're supposed to be changed. That is the nature of Christ. Amen. You can just measure that. It's nobody else's fault. Because here's the thing. It's possible for this audience to sit here. Some people can sit here and say to me, and it happens week after week, that I've experienced Christ. That I came here expectantly. I experienced Christ, and I'm leaving here with joy. And another person can sit here in the audience and say, oh, the worship was just so terrible. And this is wrong, and that is wrong. Because it's all about our hearts. Do we still come expectantly? Are we expecting to be filled with joy? Are we making constantly a decision to rise up our voices above where we are at and say, Jesus, I'm going to worship you, irrespective of how I feel this morning? That is true worship. That is expectant worship. And they came here, they came to Christ, or to the little boy, I want to say, and the Bible says, they rejoiced when they saw the star. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into their house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down. And worshipped him. Now, I just want you to know, the word for fell down there, or fall down, in Greek doesn't mean to bow like we sometimes do. That's literally, I don't want to demonstrate it here because then we'll have a, I might not get up again. Hurt myself. It's the same word, the reference to that, is when a building collapses. You've seen that on TV. Now, they didn't have dynamite then, but in the same capacity, the same intensity. Kaboom! Just imagine that. I have a 10-year-old, and I just want to make sure I get the ages right. A 10, a 9, my wife sits in the audience, so that's why I have to pay attention to that. 10, 9, and 5. Amen? In a few days, it's 9, actually it's 8 now, but I'm already counting. In a few days, it's 9. I don't fall down when I get into their presence. Parents, please don't fall down in the presence of your children, because then you're worshiping them. But these wise men coming to the presence of a young child, they were not stupid, unintelligent people. They walked into the presence of a young child and collapsed. Boom. Because they realized there's something different in this child. They realized this is not a child, this is the King of Kings here. Amen. You know, when you get into the presence of God, it should change you. You can't get into the presence of God, stand there as if nothing happened, because then it says to me, you're not engaging. There's something that is prohibiting you from experiencing the fullness, whether it's the culture, whether it's the way we think, or whether it's fear. I don't know what it might be. But it wouldn't be a bad idea this morning. I know it's a bit, I'm pushing you this morning as for where we are going. But it wouldn't be a bad idea, and just put it in the back of your mind there, and it's okay, we won't laugh at you if every now and then you just collapse in his presence. Maybe you should try and collapse at home first. Huh? No, truly, I'm serious this morning. Every now and then you should just fall down for the sake of God. I'm not using his name in vain this morning. And maybe you should just tap the person next to you and just tell him, for God's sake, just fall down every now and then. Huh? Amen. Huh? Because he's the king. Wise men, intelligent men walked into a place expectantly traveling 1,000 miles. They saw a child, and when they saw the child, they were filled with great joy. They fell down. They collapsed. Boom. You know, when we get into the presence of God one day, I think we'll probably just, boom, Lord, don't talk to me for a moment. Because, you know, this morning I was praying, and I'm experiencing just the brink of that. And I don't even know the fullness of that. But you know when you sometimes just have to sit down in God's presence, and you think about, God, what have I done wrong this week? But you don't know where your thoughts are going. And all I can get out is, sorry, Lord. Because it's as if God knows everything about you. Now, I mean, he knows everything, but you're just aware that he knows your thoughts, your everything. There's, I mean, he looks through you, and the way I always refer back to when Peter and Jesus had that encounter eye to eye, and I think Peter just knew, you know, there's no words there, just sorry, God, sorry, Lord, you see everything right through me. You know everything. I just have to collapse right now, Lord, and just say, you're holy. You are holy. You are Jehovah. You are the God of, you're the King of Kings. Because whether you like it or not, my friend, whether you're standing here this morning stiff, and like Lot's wife always joke about that, so pilar, I'm not expressing my worship. We grew up. We didn't grow up like that. Yeah, yeah, I know. A lot of us didn't grow up like that. We worship like that. And I have a problem with that, but that's fine. If you, if we put some water on you, the salt will eventually get off you. Huh? Seriously, don't feel judged this morning, please. Don't feel judged. I'm just taking us back to Scripture this morning, and you're going to see why I say that. We are different this morning. That's fine. I'm not expecting you to be like me and jump up and down, but maybe you can jump up and down every now and then. Maybe you can fall down every now and then, but just at least express your worship to God, because worship is expressed. This was utterly expressed. We can see this in Scripture. Can I just show you some more? Because here's the thing, whether you want to fall down now or later, one day, listen, one day, Scripture says in Philippians 2, all of us will bow the knee and fall down. Every billionaire, every professor, everyone that thought he knew the best, everyone, every agnostic, everyone will fall down in his presence and acknowledge Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Amen. So maybe we can start practicing every now and then, oh Lord, you are King. Huh? And the more you practice that, I say practice, or more you're doing it really from a sincere place in your heart, you know, what I found, the more I do that, that part of me dies. That what is people going to think now? No, then I just do it another time. Because every time I'm killing that spirit, that fear of man that's coming to tell me, you know what, they'll think you're crazy. Okay, then I'm just doing it again. I'm just going to become the fool again. Because I don't care what man thinks. I'm more concerned about what God thinks, and I want to express my worship to God, because what God has placed inside of us this morning is too much. The love, as much as we encounter Him and we experience more of God, you know, our heart cannot contain that. I cannot express it in words this morning. I'm trying to express it in every possible way this morning, and even if I jump up and down, fall down 1,000 times, I cannot express and give to Him what deserves to Him. You know, a lot of us believe that this hand raising and clapping and falling down and whatever we do on a Sunday is maybe for the charismatics and for the Pentecostals and for those. Can we just quickly look at a few scriptures here this morning? Psalm 47, verse 1. Clap your hands, all you nations. Scripture says that. You just obeyed Scripture. I didn't ask you, just obeyed Scripture. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God. Shall I ask you to shout? Isn't that liberating? Isn't that liberating? Huh? It breaks that yoke that's placed upon us by man. Behave yourself. Be quiet in church. Don't do that. Next one. Come, let us sing for the joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud again there to the rock of our salvation. Next one. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. We can go on to the next one. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Is there one more? Psalm 134. Yeah, that's the one. Lift up your hands. That's the last one. People, they are all, and we can carry on. There's so many more of them. They're all scriptural expressions of worship unto God. They're all scriptural expressions. That's not something just reserved for shofar church or for the wherever church. Not going to call names. Because we grew up a bit more reserved. I grew up there as well. But I remember one night. I went with my grandparents to a worship service, somewhere like we had. And God touched me there. Specifically through the worship. There are many other things. You can deny it this morning, but you get into the presence where people really worship God, where they express their worship.
Although you want to deny that deep inside of you, there's something that says, let go. And then there's also this voice, don't. There's almost this battle inside. Let go, there's more. And then you're fighting this battle. And it's fine. There's a clip that I showed the leaders the other night about the different styles of worship and hands. It's a joke about that. But, you know, we all start somewhere. It's fine, just start somewhere. I'm not expecting you to be there overnight. Mm-hmm. And I'm not putting out a standard this morning because it's to worship unto God, that God would set us free. You know, sometimes we just start here. And if you can start there, that's fine. Amen. You just decide, nobody sees you, you're clapping hands, but that's fine. And then God liberates you, and then you go, you know, I worship, and then you go, and we go a little bit higher, and then we go and we fall down. Whatever it might be, you know. But I don't want to worship next year, or by the end of next year, that my worship still looks the same that it looked this year. I said that to the Lord yesterday. I said, Lord, if I still worship the same, man, there's something wrong here. And I'm not saying we just should make a show here this morning. I'm just saying, God, that I should really worship in spirit and truth. And that means if I need to be liberated, to be freed from other stuff around me that's prohibiting me from just being myself and just express my pure worship unto God, then God needs to set me free from that. I'm really trusting God, and I'm honest with you guys, that our church, Shofar, listen to me, that this church will become a worshiping church. That's one of my desires, and I'm really trusting God in this year to come, that people will feel free here to worship in whatever way they want to. That nobody would look around and say, what did that one just do? Huh? You know, every now and then that happens. But it's fine because it chases the religious spirit out of us. I know sometimes we bring culture in that when, you know, pray for that, help us, because we sometimes miss it as well. I just want to say that for the record as well. But there is a place of true worship unto God. That we can fall down, that we can kneel down, that we can raise hands, that we can clap hands, that we can feel this freedom, this place, because the King is here. And nobody looks at any person around, and then we just purely experience Christ's presence. Aren't you excited about that? That we can worship like that expectantly and expressively. The last one this morning, verse 11. Matthew 2, verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshipped him. They worshipped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Our people gifts, these gifts had a prophetic significance. They didn't just bring those gifts. Gold represented divinity. Frankincense, I'll pronounce it right, gold represents royalty, frankincense represents divinity, and myrrh, the humanity of Jesus. Think about that again. Humanity, divinity, and royalty. Those three gifts. They didn't even know that. But they brought those three gifts. Why? Because you look again, and I'm giving you history this morning, maybe I bore you with that, but the Persians were known for those gifts. They were, in actual fact, that was their best gifts that they would bring. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were the ones. If you want to go, you need to go to them to buy it from them. So what did they do? They took their best. They put it with them on their, listen, not on their camels, on horses. Traveled 1,000 miles expecting to see the King fall down and worship him. And then they opened their treasures, their best treasures. And what we also see, and what we know, and it's not like in today you get in your car and we're just going to travel to Windhoek, and in 3 hours we're there. Because they traveled so far, they didn't know what would happen on the road, how long they would be on the road. They had to take a lot more with them than nowadays. You just take your wallet and your card and you go to Windhoek. We don't think about that. You know, when something happens, I just swipe my card. They didn't have cards. By the way, they didn't have credit cards with them. So what did they have to do? They had to take all
And when they traveled for some reckon they traveled between 9 to 18 months. They had to take supply, money, gifts, gold with them to help them to supply, to pay for up to 18 months. Some theologians say 36 months, but we're not going to debate it. Between 9 to 36 months, 9 is already a long time. Huh? Imagine that. You have to go to, it's not even Cape Town, 1,600, less than that. 9 months they take to get to Cape Town, on a horse. Okay, I know we think it's camels. I don't want to go into the discussion. It's not unscriptural. You can think it is, but anyway, let's not get distracted. And they get into the presence of a toddler, fall down, collapse, and then after they get up, they open up their treasures. Now, these were intelligent, wise men that recognized, that saw everything, that lined up, that started following Jesus, following the star. They met Jesus, and they were traveling. Those people were traveling with slaves, their servants, because the Bible says they spoke to their servants, their slaves. And here's just my interpretation. Please don't. I think they got into the presence of Jesus, the young boy, fell down. That's what Scripture says. Because obviously, I mean, it's not norm for us to fall down in the presence of a... Huh? Have you ever done that? No. So they realize, hey, there's something more here. Open up their treasures. And here's my interpretation. I think they said to the servant, go and get it all. Go and get all the treasures. And maybe the guy stood there and said, hey, but we still have to go back. We need to keep some back. To go back, you don't know how long the road is. We don't know. We have to stop at the Shell to fill up the horse. I think he said, shut up. Just give everything. Bring the gold, bring the myrrh, bring everything. All the treasures. Because this is the king. Listen, this is my last point this morning. If you want to go into a new level of worship with God, got news for you. You need to change your giving. Because giving is a part of worship. Vernon mentioned that in the beginning. God started ministering to me, speaking to me earlier this year about my giving. I don't know why he's going there. Probably don't worry about the church that's about to be built. Don't worry about that. There's opportunity for us all. I think God is preparing us for a new season. But as we want to worship, as we enter into a new season of worship, Our level of giving, the way we give needs to be examined. The heart that I give with, not just the actual amount. Mm-hmm. But I have to re-examine, do I still give on a Sunday morning? Do I still pay my tithe without thanksgiving and acknowledgement and say, God, you are truly my source. Thank you, Jesus. I don't just do this as a habit. You know, I've heard once a testimony about a guy that said he was giving his tithe, you know, for so many months and years. And then God started ministering to him and said, do you still do that with an expectant heart, with a thankful heart? Because sometimes you get into that routine of just doing that, and you know that's the right thing to do, and you don't even question whether you should do that anymore. But then you don't experience the joy of, thank you, Father. Thank you for what you've done. And here's the last point I want to bring across. Before these men worshipped, listen, they came and worshipped there, but before they worshipped, before they entered into his presence, they had to go to other people to help them, to tell them where the king is, to interpret everything, to put everything together, to interpret scripture, to interpret history, scripture, so that we can find out where is the king, before they worshipped. But after they entered into his presence, they understood scripture themselves. And here's the thing. When you're not the real worshiper, when you don't worship often, we don't truly get to that place. You often have to go to other people and ask them, what does this mean? Can you help me here? What does this mean? But when you get into his presence, he tells you, what does this mean? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I get it. And you can bounce it off and you can share it. That's great. But it's nothing so special than when he tells you, this is me. This is my heart.
last night I dreamed. I don't dream a lot of spiritual dreams. My wife is more that side. So, you know, sometimes when you dream, and you wake up, and I was like relieved. But then as I was relieved, I don't want to share the dream that's irrelevant. I want to share the interpretation of that this morning. I sat with the Lord this morning and said, Lord, I'm so relieved. And it was in a church environment that it happened, and to preach a sermon, and long story short. And I sense God says to his people, I want you to come into my presence. But here's the thing, and I want to share something from my heart this morning, just be vulnerable with you. If you are a father this morning, you are a leader. Or you're reflecting, supposed to, put it that way, supposed to reflect a part of the father heart this morning, of our father. If you're a father, that's part of what God has called us to do. To my children, I should reflect. If I really love Jesus and I become more like Jesus, I should reflect the father heart to them as well. Not only in the natural, but in the spiritual, as I'm standing here, as spiritually as a father as well. I'm supposed to reflect a part of the father heart to God. Then I sense that God said there's some of us this morning that maybe just struggle to get into God's presence, maybe because of what you've encountered in church. Maybe you saw a wrong reflection of what the Father's really, his heart is really. Maybe it was a sense of guilt. Maybe it's a sense of, I'm not good enough. And I really feel to repent to you this morning that where I've missed God on that, where I've maybe in the place where I'm standing, and I don't want to even go beyond the borders of our church this morning. That doesn't matter this morning. I just want to stay within the borders of our church. Maybe you're a cell leader. Maybe you stand there in other region, capacity. But I want to stand from this place and say, I'm sorry if I miss God, reflecting the wrong side of God. And that as a result, you just got the wrong picture. And you're afraid, you feel guilty, you can't get into God's presence because you never feel good enough. You never feel that you are worthy to experience that presence. God wants you to get into his presence over this time, over the season, and just enjoy him. Just to experience the Father heart of God. I want us to close our eyes this morning. God wants to take us into a new level of worship. And I believe it's just the preparation phase. It's just the start of that. It's a time of where we're just going to at worship at home, and there's an abundance at home of God's peace and joy and love. And as we wake up with songs in our minds. As we go out there at our houses, we walk there, we drive with songs in our spirit. Jesus, you are good. And we're going to become a worshiping church, people that is just in love with God. But there's a couple of people I want to pray for this morning. I believe God wants to bring healing, and give you something this morning. Some of us, we struggle with self-worth. You've got a low expectation when you get into God's word. You don't feel that you are worthy this morning. But God wants to just break that lie this morning. You are not defined this morning by what you do for God. I want to say that for the record. You are not defined by what you do for God. What we do for God is just the outflow of our love, just a place of thanksgiving. But we are not defined. You are a child first. You are a son first. He loves you. He came for you. He died for you. And he gave your worth this morning because you are a son, because Christ died. Not because you've done anything for him or you will ever do. Not whatever we ever will do in this life. And God has called us to good deeds, people. And probably part of my calling is just to stir people onto that. But that will never define us. Our exceedingly great reward is God alone this morning. Not our works. If that's you, I want you to... There's a couple of other people. I want you to come to the front. Some of us this morning, you're often in God's presence and you're so serious and you struggle to experience that joy. Maybe it's the way you grew up. You can never... You know, I always want to... Just put it down, every eye closed, just for a moment, let's just stay in his presence. I saw that while I was praying that many of us need to laugh in God's presence. That sounds so ridiculous to you. But that laughter, I know people, you know, it goes weird and all of that, but I just saw that laughter, that joy, that complete joy that God is filling us. And some of us just need to go back to that place because you're so serious. God says, enjoy me. I love you. Fill you with joy. Some of us this morning, we struggle to express our worship. And it's almost like there's a chain around you. God says, let me just break that this morning. I want you to express your worship for me. You're afraid of the fear of, you're the fear of man. You're afraid of man around you. You're afraid of the opinion of man and what man will think about you. Then there's some of us this morning, I believe God wants to give you, I almost want to say Christmas gift, but call it that way. But some of God wants to heal this morning. Somebody with a pain in the neck here. Somebody in your right palm here, your palms, and then there's somebody in your knees. That God says, I want to touch you. I want to show you that I'm good. That I'm that Father. And there's somebody this morning, you've been praying for restoration in your family. And I sense God says, that's my gift to you. I'm going to bring restoration there. Because I'm a good Father. You want to claim that this morning. Maybe you know that when you sit here. You know you've been praying for that restoration. And God says, this is your time. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to respond to that just for a moment. The rest of us, we can just stay in the presence of God. If that's you, you know that God is ministering to you this morning. Maybe you need to enter into a new level of worship. Just quickly, I want to lay hands upon you. Don't be shy. Let's break that yoke. Let's just break that yoke and just admit, Jesus, I need a touch this morning.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.